Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sage Rosenfels.
Good physical stature, can see, and looks to be smart with the football.
12-year NFL quarterback.
Rosenfels, rolling, near side, throwing for the end zone, touchdown!
Our Tuesday morning quarterback.
There's just so many combinations that a defense can do to confuse a quarterback, even a veteran quarterback. That is the complex, deep science of football that very few people understand.
Sage Rosenfels,
brilliant!
With Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's go inside the Bears offense with Sage Rosenfels here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can find him on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, it certainly looked like it could be construed as a step forward or a step somewhere, even though they were playing the lowly Lions. It looked better, Sage.
Oh, it looked much better. I thought Mitchell Trubisky played one of his better games since I've been, you know, covering him over the last few years. And I thought he played very well in this football game. You know, the only big mistake was the interception, which was on this sort of token play action. And he had, I believe it was Allen Robinson, on a nice crossing round. He had a step on him, but Mitch's footwork got out of hand, got out of a position a little bit. His left foot was more vertical down the field, and the throw was more across the field. And a lot of times you leave the ball a little bit behind your receiver on that, and that's exactly what happened. So other than that, man, he played really good football. I liked a little bit more what the Bears were doing offensively. They did a little bit more play action. I think you saw some bootlegs in this game, which were, you know, not big plays down the field necessarily, but nice, solid completions, get Mitch out of the pocket. And I thought he played one of his best games in the last 2 years.
You seem pretty thrilled with the production there. Would you say you're tipping the hat to Matt Nagy a little bit as well?
Well, I think he has to adjust. I mean, listen, it's hard to play quarterback from the pocket all the time. It just is. I mean, Tom Brady does it. Peyton Manning did it for a long time. But a lot of quarterbacks, in particular younger guys who are athletic like Trubisky is, I just firmly believe you have to get him on the move a little bit and or use real play action. And he did that more in this game than I've seen him do, in particular this season.
Why do you think they stuck so stubbornly with man defense that allowed Trubisky to pick out matchups, that allowed him to try to throw somebody open in a way that zone doesn't allow?
Well, you know, I think that they probably want to get, you have an extra guy in the box. When you play man, you bring an extra guy down in the box to stop the run, so it slows down all the zone read type of stuff, which, you know, we really don't see Trubisky doing too much anymore. And my guess is that the Detroit Lions, with their cornerbacks and guys like Darius Slay, they probably figured they had a good matchup one-on-one with these Bears wide receivers. And, you know, Chicago did a really nice job making them pay, in particular on that last drive. Those two routes, and throws by Miller and Trubisky on that final drive on those two third and long situations. Those were a great job by him of getting open, getting separation. I like this Miller kid. He does a nice job of getting separation from the DBs, and he did a really good job on those two plays. But one thing you notice is he was bumped on those deep throws, the high corner route and the go route down the right-hand side down to the two or three. He was bumped on those situations. He wasn't chasing a bailing corner. And so, you know, go routes versus bump versus, again, they were in the slot formation, not out wide where you get squeezed sometimes by the sideline, but they were both in the slot running basically a high corner and a go route. That gives you a little more room as a quarterback for a little bit more air on your throw. But, you know, Mitch made nice throws there, and he was clutch when it mattered.
No Snacks Harrison for the Lions, but it did look like the offensive line, as maligned as they've been, gave Mitch a better chance of having the kind of success. Is that, were they facing a poorer competition, or is that a buildable production that you could see for them going forward?
Well, I think there's actual balance in this last game. I mean, Montgomery had 16 carries. I don't know, I haven't followed all of his stats this year, but he doesn't have a ton of game. a ton of games with 16 carries. And I thought, you know, when you run the football, that takes the pressure off the quarterback. And he had some really nice 7, 8, 9 yard runs in this football game. I think Chicago Bears fans are probably starting to appreciate Montgomery's ability to finish plays. You know, he seems to always fall forward for 2 more yards at the end of a run. And I think having that balance then offsets, you know, a quarterback who sits in the shotgun all the time and has to throw it from the pocket, which, as I said before, is hard to do. So I really like, I think they need to stick to trying to run the football. And then that opens up some of the play action bootleg off that run. But if you never run the football, in particular, if you never run the football from under center, all that play action bootleg stuff, defenses don't have to really practice or don't have to really scheme against it, because the run is ineffective in the past. And so I like the way they ran the football. It sets up other aspects of the passing game.
I don't know what it says, but 2nd and 5 shouldn't feel like a luxury. 2nd and 5 should be a reasonable expectation rather than it feeling like a gift from the football gods. But your life is different when you look at some 2nd and 5s. Your life is different when you look at 3rd and 1s instead of 3rd and 8s. And I know it sounds so simple, but when you actually live it while watching a game, you think, oh, well, it should always be like this.
You're right. And again, I watch obviously every Bears game, but I also cover the Vikings, and you know, with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, with very little athletic ability as far as a guy who can escape the pocket and create when things aren't good, when they get into a 2nd-and-long situation or a 3rd-and-long situation, I mean, you might as well just punt. I mean, they're literally going to run a screen. They're going to run a draw. They're just not going to risk him back there. So their whole goal is to stay on track, you know, 2nd-and-6s and 3rd-and-2s and those types of things. So as soon as they sort of get behind the sticks, they have real problems, and Chicago has that sometimes too. They get a lot of holding penalties, too many holding penalties, in particular on running plays. You should not be holding on running plays, and that gets you in these really 3rd-and-long situations, which for a quarterback are really just a nightmare, because so many bad things can happen, and you know, your chance of getting a first down on like 3rd-and-12 plus are under 10%. In the National Football League, and so you have to stay ahead of the sticks and get in those 2nd-and-5 situations, and that really opens up the game plan and the playbook for the offensive coordinator.
Speaking of the Vikings, a loss to Seattle last night, and you've got in one play Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs going down with separate injuries. What do the Vikings look like from your perspective right now? Are things shaky, or was that just a game where you lost to a guy that in another season might win an MVP?
Well, a couple of things. Stephon Diggs did come back in the ball game. It sounds like Dalvin Cook is going to be healthy the rest of the season. He said he'll play this week. You know, obviously, there's only a few games left. It's crunch time now. They're missing Adam Thielen, who's, you know, him and Diggs are sort of 1A and 1B over there. So he's been missing for a lot of this season. That's been an issue. But this Vikings football team is sort of solid from top to bottom. And, you know, they play good defense. They gave up a lot of running yards last night, which is unusual for them. I think over 200 yards on the ground. But for the most part, I mean, at the end of the day, they went to, on Monday Night Football, they went to Seattle, and it came down to the wire, you know, right down to the end of that football game. So I actually think they played pretty well last night, just got beat by a team that's probably, you know, right in that same class of one of the better teams in the NFC. I think the Vikings are one of the better teams in the NFC, but if the offensive line doesn't play well in Minnesota, Kirk Cousins doesn't play well in Minnesota. He's only as good as the guys around him. And for the most part, the second half of this season, that offense has been very consistent. The O-line has been very consistent. And Dalvin Cook, if he's hurt for the rest of the year, which I don't think he will be, he's the most important piece of that offense. I mean, they throw him screens. They obviously run the ball a ton with him. He is the thing that makes that ship go. So he's very, very valuable to the Minnesota Vikings team. And I do think they're going to be one of those 5 or 6 seeds that probably has to go to Dallas, who might end up being like 8-8 by season's end, and play an away playoff game despite having a better record.
Talking to Sage Rosenfels here on Sports Radio 670. The segment is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves Holiday Flex Pack gives you 10 ticket vouchers, a Wolves knit hat and scarf, a commemorative hockey puck, and more, all for one low price. Get yours at chicagowolves.com. What do you think of the Cowboys? What do you make of this enigmatic team that always seems to be followed by a cloud of turmoil?
Well, I think I enjoy when that cloud follows them around. I'm not sure about you
Me
guys.
Me too.
But
yeah, people seem to.
I love it.
So, you know, there'd be nothing worse if they were, 13-0 right now. That would be the worst, I think. So I enjoy when they're a little bit of turmoil. I do love Jason Garrett. I know he's, you know, been on the hot seat, it seems like, for years. But, you know, he and I go back a long time. I completely respect him as a man, as a coach. I love playing. He actually was my backup quarterback for my first career start. So I always want him to win. But it is nice, and the Dallas Cowboys aren't winning football games, I think, for the rest of the NFL. They're a good team. I mean, I think they're a team you don't really want to face. They've got a very good offense. They've got a great offensive line, obviously, Zeke Elliott. They haven't been running the ball as well, but Dak Prescott has been playing great. And they've got a really good pass rush along the defensive front. So they're one of those good football teams that just seems to keep losing close ball games. And, you know, in the NFL, the difference between 6-10 and 10-6 is so small. I could probably even say, you know, 6-10 and 12-4. I mean, it's so small sometimes. It's a field goal here. It's a fumble here. It's a kick out of bounds on a kickoff that the team gets the ball in good field position and scores to lose the game. I mean, they have found sort of ways to lose tight ball games, and that's why they're, you know, sitting at 500 right now.
Whose situation is better if I can snap my fingers and make one of these two things happen? Does Garrett get better if I make Jerry Jones disappear, or does Jerry Jones get better if Garrett disappears?
It's a good question. I will say this. I mean, I think both have their positives, and I think both have their negatives. I think Jerry has made a lot of good and bad moves, you know, as an owner, in particular during this last, 8-9 years that Jason Garrett has been the head coach. I think there's been a lot of positives as far as that roster. And, you know, the drafting of Dak Prescott was basically lucky to get a guy who in the mid rounds, who's now, I think, a top 8 quarterback in the NFL. I really like Dak Prescott. So, they got a good football team. And when you have a talented football team with probably a lot of guys that could go to the Pro Bowl or will go to the Pro Bowl, you should be winning more football games, in particular in that division, which is hands down the worst division in the NFL. It's one of the worst divisions in, like, the history of the NFL. I mean, the leaders are 6-6, Eagles are 5-7, and I believe the Skins and the Giants have like 3-2 wins, you know, respectively. So, if you have a division that poor, they should be sitting there at 9 or 10 wins right now.
Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, and this is anecdotal, and it's also because I'm weird, but why are kickers bad across the league for some reason? That every time I turn on the TV, it's like I never see a kick made anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember growing up, and of course, I grew up watching Kevin Butler, which you never knew what you're going to get. But, it seemed like kickers were so consistent for a long time. I mean, 50-yarders almost seemed like gimmies. It seemed like 15 or 20 years ago, and it has become more inconsistent. And, you know, it's one of those things where nothing has changed. I mean, the fields are both the same, and the goalposts haven't changed. And the snap and the hold and the kick, that's all the same. I can't say the pass rushes or any, you know, or the rush for the block is different. I don't know. That's a really good question. I do know this. Both the Bears who are doing it with Jamie Cole, who was my college kicker at Iowa State, who runs a Cole's kicking camps all across the country, they have hired him to be sort of a kicking coach, which – And I know the Minnesota Vikings have hired Nate Kading, who is the old Iowa kicker and San Diego Chargers kicker, to be sort of their kicking coach. The thing about special teams coaches are they're actually not kicking coaches. I mean, a special teams coach's job is the X's and O's. It's the protection. It's the cover. It's all those types of things. But the actual technique of kicking, it's same with offensive coordinators. A lot of offensive coordinators don't even know how to throw a football. I mean, that's just the way it goes. It's more of an X's and O's things. But I do think more teams are going to hire former kickers that are good in their careers to come on as sort of almost like a shooting coach in the NBA that doesn't get involved in the X's and O's but just works on the guy's shot. I think we're going to see that more and more in the NFL because, yeah, I don't know why, but the kickers are definitely struggling. You got to think the extended extra point is, of all these rule changes that happen every year, some good, some bad, that must be, in my opinion, the best rule change the NFL has made in the last 20 or so years to make games more interesting. I mean, the kickers hate it, and maybe it's affecting their field goals, but it's been a great rule to make something that was a sure thing a little bit more challenging.
Sage, appreciate you as always.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That is Sage Rosenfels, who joins us every Tuesday to break down Mitchell Trubisky and just to talk football with us. We're always mindful of Sage around Thanksgiving because there's so much of it in our various stuffing recipes.
Oh, that I kind of think I'm with him with the kicking thing, with moving the extra point. I didn't like it at first, not even a little bit, and it did what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, I would. The only exception, I think the best thing the NFL has done in a long time is finally go back to figuring out the right way to rule a catch. Because we went way too long with I don't know what a catch is. And now, at least this year, I've been fairly satisfied with the understanding of, the hand is under it enough. It looks enough like a catch. We watch it in real time. The Bears game had three of them in at least the last game that a couple years ago might have been overruled. You get to the Zach Miller call or whatever that was. But I do think the NFL, I have to give them grudging credit that I think they did get that right. We're at $14,000 right now.
Excellent.
We got to pick it up, though, because we're at $14,000 raised for Camp One Step. That's 14 kids we are sending to Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services. So this is a real thing. That is literally true. 14 kids with cancer will be able to go to camp because of your generosity on Giving Tuesday. But when we get to 25, I don't say if. When? At some point today, you can follow me on Twitter even after we get done with the show. This is going to go on, continue on social media, and I'll keep everybody updated. But when we get to $25,000, it will instantaneously turn in to 50, because that's when the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation is going to give us that match once we get to that threshold. So it's going to double every single dollar when we get to that point. If you want to help right now, what you can do, there's two ways you can do this. Go to 670heartscamp.org. The word hearts is spelled out, 670heartscamp.org, or text 670heartscamp to 76278. Text 670heartscamp to 76278. Every couple of bucks helps. It all adds up. We are at $14,000. We need to get to 25 to trigger that match.
Here's what you do. All season long, Paul Charchian has been giving you fantasy football advice, and you know you've got something booked in your league. You're going to make a couple of dollars there. Take some of that. Camp One Step, that's the place to do it. Paul Charchian is up next. He's going to make sure you get that bread. It's 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Paul Charchian.
Tons of risk, tons of upside.
The leader at Fanball and League Safe.
The leader is good. The leader is great. We surrender our will as of this day.
Guiding you through the waiver wire.
I took the bike. I picked it up off the waiver wire. Mm-hmm. That's stealing.
Fantasy Sports Hall of Famer.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Charge.
Championship.
With Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Well, there's a lot of names out there as we get ready for the fantasy playoffs, and there could be some late rearrangement that just might help you win your league. Paul Charchian joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Follow Charch at Paul Charchian on Twitter, he of KFan and Fanball.com. Hello, Paul Charchian. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was yamless, which to me is an automatic win. So any Thanksgiving sans yams is an automatic win.
I am so with you, and I know you're going to get the pedants out there saying that sweet potatoes are not yams, that yams are different. I'm with you, yams or sweet potatoes, however you want to make them. And I make them, and people love when I make them. I just don't want to eat them.
I like you make food you don't want to eat.
I do.
That's a sign.
I make a bourbon glazed sweet potato, and it's a wonderful bourbon brown sugar syrup, and I typically double the bourbon, and I swig out of the bottle while I'm making it. So I enjoy the process of making them, and everybody raves about it. I don't touch them.
Here's the thing. Everything would be good with a bourbon brown sugar glaze.
Right.
Everything. If yams or sweet potatoes were so great. Here you are in Chicago with a dozen of the best 25 steakhouses in America all in one city.
Yep.
You go into any of them and you ask for yams, they don't have it because it's not good and nobody wants them. That's why. And if they were good, they'd be on the menu. Nobody wants a damn yam, and why you try to roll that out in front of your whole family on Thanksgiving is beyond me.
Charts, as we think about it here, there are three yams that are actually pick-upable on the waiver wire right now if we're talking fantasy football quarterbacks. Listen, if Ryan Fitzpatrick, Duck Hodges, and Gardner Minshew are out there because of their very feisty playoff schedules, they seem like a thing. They seem non-yam.
They are non-yam. You're exactly right. And now, the biggest mistake fantasy owners can make is this. well, I'm just starting the guys that got me there. I don't have to go to the waiver wire. Yeah, that's crap. You know, 90% of the players on your roster are not auto starts. Sure, Lamar Jackson, start him every week. Christian McCaffrey, start him every week. You know, most of the guys, you got to play the matchups on. And here comes Ryan Fitzpatrick. Over the past 6 weeks, which is a long sample size, he's quarterback 4 in fantasy scoring. And get the schedule. He gets the Jets, then the Giants, and then the Bengals. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to win championships for people, and people are going to be like, well, he's a Dolphin. I'm not taking him. Or they're going to be like, I can't bench Tom Brady for Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I'd kick myself for years if I made that mistake. It hasn't been a mistake. Fitzpatrick's been great, and they're always behind, and he's always passing. He's been terrific. He's an absolute lock pickup. And then Duck Hodges, the Steelers just announced he's going to get the start. Get this. He's all about the long ball. That's the whole deal on him. And he's connecting in all these long passes in the past couple of weeks to James Washington. He gets the Cardinals this week. They've given up the most 20-yard receptions in the league. They've given up 60 20-yard receptions this year. Duck Hodges, startable this week. Play the matchups, folks.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball hosts number 3 Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on December 18th. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. I got to ask, where in play is Bears wide receiver Anthony Miller, considering Taylor Gabriel is probably out again, and the usage was there and the receptions were there?
They were there. By the way, not to overly peacock, but I mentioned this angle on my Thursday bit with Dan and Mac.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, you know, I thought that was an exploitable opportunity. Could be again here. The opponent this week is pretty shaky.
Cowboys,
right? So here's the bit. The Cowboys' outside corners are really good. And so if you are going to try to attack the Cowboys, attacking from the slot is a good way to go. And I can tell you exactly who that matchup's going to be. It's going to be, hang on. No, I don't have it in front of me. Shoot, I thought I had it in front of me. I don't have the exact cornerback matchup, but I think there is going to be an opportunity here. And you know what we found is if you pick the right spots for Mitch Trubisky, he's Mitch Trubisky. He's not Sad Trombonski. You pick the right spots, and maybe this is going to be one of them, although this is not. It's overall, this is a tough matchup.
Given what I saw Monday night between the Vikings and Seahawks, Alexander Mattison, for injury reasons and for talent reasons and for scheme reasons, is a must pick up for me. I wonder if you feel the same.
He is. He's my number one guy to go get this week because we just don't know. We don't right now, 12 hours later, we don't know the status of Dalvin Cook's shoulder injury, but running backs get sidelined on shoulder injuries because it's obviously a huge part of their game. Stylistically, Madison is basically identical to Cook or almost identical. They don't have to change their game plan. They will use him every bit like they would have used Cook, and a delicious matchup coming up with the Lions already this week. So if in any game Cook does not play, Madison gets almost all the work, and he has top 5 fantasy upside. So he's the guy that you could pick up right now, and if, God forbid, Dalvin Cook's going to miss a bunch of games, Alexander Mattison could run you to the championship.
Do we do anything with, if you're taking flyers in a wide receiver spot that you're looking for things to do, does Andy Dalton's return do anything for maybe like a flex spot, a wide receiver 3 spot if you're in a league like that?
It does. Remember, John Ross started the season with 2 awesome games. Then he had an okay game, and then he got knocked out and got put on IR. John Ross is coming back for this game. AJ Green still, rehabbing in air quotes from the world's longest high ankle sprain, now in its 17th week. So he's not going to be a factor. So John Ross comes back, and even Auden Tate, if you just want to, as somebody that you can, as you can just sort of throw in and try to get your 5 or 6 receptions. But let me mention this. They dispensed, I think we mentioned it last week, actually, they benched Andy Dalton when he was the league leader in completions back in like week 8, which is the most Bengal thing ever. They bring him back and he wins the game. Did you hear this story? After the game, his head coach, Snyder, gave him the game ball, and Dalton turned around and gave it back to Zach saying, you know what? This is your first win. You should take it. Despite the fact that Zack Snyder had benched him just, in week 8. And I thought that was a super classy move.
That's in a game where he became the Bengals' all-time touchdown leader, right? Passing touchdowns?
Yes, that's exactly right. And, by the way, they benched him on his birthday.
This is such a terrible franchise.
You mentioned that a common mistake is just saying, I'm going to ride my guys as the playoffs begin, and people are a little bit too loyal to their initial draft, mm-hmm. their initial roster. What is another common mistake that is made this time of year?
Not having a guy like Alexander Mattison already on roster. You need to have these key handcuff guys squared away. And Mattison is only owned in 25% of leagues. Most of the listeners right now are going to be able to go get Alexander Mattison. If you've got a key, especially running back, go get the handcuff guy so that somebody else, you know, if you're going to lose a Dalvin Cook in this league, you've got the guy who's going to be the beneficiary.
And I have to say, I laughed out loud when they say, let's go to Carissa Thompson for a game break. And there's Raheem Mostert breaking free. And I laugh out loud because it's just all roads seem to lead back to him one way or another because Matt Breida cannot stay healthy.
No, he can't. Tevin Coleman's just not that good, and so he's been getting diminishing work every single week for a month now. Matt Breida may or may not come back, but I don't even think that matters. Raheem Mostert is just sort of last man standing, and he's actually really good. He just put up 150 total yards on an awesome Ravens defense, and most of it in the second half. So, yeah, that's an impressive opportunity for Raheem Mostert. I think he's somebody you go out and get, and then in a similar situation, Darwin Thompson was the best running back on the field for Kansas City last week, and they lost Darrell Williams, but it's such a messy backfield. Damien Williams probably comes back this week. LeSean McCoy, I don't even know if he matters anymore, but he might be in the mix, but you could throw a dart there too if you want.
Okay, speaking of darts, with the handcuff rules firmly in place, does that mean that if I've got one, well, does that mean that I have to actually invest in Peyton Barber and figure out when the hell he's going to get his carries and when he won't?
Yeah, good luck getting that right.
Yeah, no,
right? I mean, if all you do is go based on what you saw last week and what Bruce Arians tells us, you will never start Peyton Barber in the right week. Never. Because you can't know. It's maddening. But it looks like we're back to Barber right now because he got a 2-to-1 carry advantage over Jones. He got the 2 touchdowns. Jones did nothing. It's a tough matchup this week against the Colts, but then he gets the Lions, and that's a little easier. So maybe, you know, maybe you could pick up Peyton Barber here too, but it's been such a cluster boink all year that I don't know that you can win this one.
He hates yams, and he's coined the term cluster boink.
I want it on a t-shirt.
He is Paul Charchian. Charch, thanks a lot, man, as always.
Thanks, my friends. We'll talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Indeed. Paul Charchian, that segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Waiting on the latest update on our Giving Tuesday donations to Camp One Step. We were last at $14,000. Want to thank Score listener, Bernstein & McKnight listener Daniel Marbach, who just donated $1,000.
Attaboy.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
That's stepping up. That is one person sending one kid to camp for a week.
That is very, very cool.
And what we enjoy, and I think it gives us a lot of pride, those of us who are part of the One Step family, is just how immediate and real your donations are. They don't go into some massive slush fund paying insane administrative costs for some giant 501c3. We are a very, very small organization. A very, very small organization. And we have just a handful of staff. We have over 400 volunteers. And when you actually go to our website, when you see the kids, you will see this is all real. You give $1,000 and you are literally that. There is a kid at one of the hospitals right now, or soon to check in right after diagnosis, who will be able to have one of the caregivers look him or her in the eye and say, you know where you're going in the middle of the summer? You are going to camp. And the parents say, well, I don't know. And we get involved and we educate the parents and we educate the kid, and then they become part of our community for life.
It's awesome. Yeah, you can do it too. Givings all day long. The links are tweeted Bernstein_MCK at C1 McNett, at C1 McKnight, at Dan_Bernstein. When we come back, I have been putting this off long enough.
Optimism.
There is a chance. There is a reasonable opportunity for the Bears to actually find a playoff spot in Week 16. But more importantly, Dan and I are up to something no good on December 13th. We'll tell you where we're headed and how you can get involved
the 12th,
in Score nonsense.
Yep.
It's coming up. Bernstein McKnight on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.